5:02 in the Fast Lane. Time check brought to you by Clarkson Jewelers, an officially licensed Rolex jeweler. Take it or leave it. Coming up in a moment, send in your text to the Ryan Kelly text line at 65780. Before we get to Teoli, Stan Kroenke's L.A. Stadium has faced major delays in the progress, so the Rich Eisen Show did a little investigative journalism with a construction worker and got more honest answers than the Rams would have ever given them.
Hello, my name is Jeremiah Dingle. I'm the senior project manager for the new Rams Stadium. Like to open up some questions to the press, if anybody has a question.
Mr. Dingle, what...
Yes,
what,
you there in the front.
What measures are you taking to ensure that there are no further delays with the stadium project?
What I've pledged to Mr. Kroenke is that I will be on site 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. I got kids. I don't see my kids. I haven't seen my wife in 6 months. Here's news, she's 3 months pregnant. That math doesn't work. Yes.
The Clippers are looking to move to Inglewood. What are the chances their new arena is built before your stadium?
Oh, what are the chances? Well, let me answer your question with a question. Okay, Jerry West, we know that he can build championships. Has he ever built a house? Okay, not that easy.
He's the logo.
Some say. Could be anybody. That could be Rick Barry.
Mr. Dingle.
Yes, another question?
Is there any truth to the widespread rumor that you, in fact, knew that the stadium would never be built in time to host Super Bowl 55?
It wasn't really a question. It's more of an accusation.
Okay.
And why don't you tell me who killed Biggie and Tupac? Okay? You think you're a smart guy? I'm here to solve problems, not start conspiracies. I want to tell you something. I will not rest until this city has the glorious stadium that it deserves. The city of angels deserves the best, and I will make the best, no matter what it takes. The football gods demand it, and I'm well aware of it. All right, Jeremiah Dingle, out!
Good stuff.
I think that's pretty legit right there, and I'm glad we got to get some real answers of what's going on over there. Real straight shooter, that Jeremiah Dingle.
Yeah.
I'm a Dingle fan.
A.K.A. friend of the show, David Koechner.
Sure is. A.K.A. Champ Kind. Whammy!
BT and Ronge, you guys are both well-conditioned athletes. Take it or leave
it. Right. What?
You could envision a scenario in which something you do while working out would cause you to require a shoulder surgery.
I'll take it.
You could?
Well, yeah, sure. Like tripping over a dog?
Oh, well.
Down the stairs? Yeah. I get down on a little P90X every once in a while when I'm feeling froggy. There are some moves where I'm like, I shouldn't do that. I just don't have it. So, yes, maybe. And sometimes I get overzealous if I'm listening to some hate music and I lift weight that I shouldn't lift.
Oh, okay.
Every once in a while. Mm-hmm. So, maybe.
Well, for sure. Okay. Not me.
Not feeling it?
I'm too old.
Yeah, well, you know what your limit
is.
Here's
the thing. My right shoulder clicks when I lift weights. But
so you just don't do that?
What the hell? Getting it fixed isn't... I'm not going to play in the NHL. Why should I get it fixed?
Oh, okay, so you're going that direction. Yeah. Like, who cares if you're hurt? I was just thinking that I could blow something out.
That's what I was thinking, too. I'm just wondering if you're doing something that could conceivably require... my point is that if I personally required surgery, I just wouldn't get it because it's...
Gotcha.
It would be stupid
that
for me.
That makes sense. I think that maybe I still would at this point. Mm-hmm. I want to be able to throw BP...
Uh-huh.
You know, I suck at it, but I want to be able to do it. Like, so if I blew out a shoulder, if little man wants to play baseball and he gets older, I got to be able to do that. And let's be honest, I really want to be able to do those Cardinal fantasy camps.
Oh,
so I got to be able to throw a little bit, you know what I mean?
And I'd also like to be able to go to graduations and business meetings.
Yeah, walk my kids down the aisle.
Take care of the knee, yeah.
Yeah, stuff like that. Yeah, sounds good. So, yes, could see that. Once again, a couple days in a row, that Aledmys Diaz is out of the lineup for the Cardinals. DeJong is starting at shortstop again tonight. Take it or leave it. Diaz does, at some point this season, get sent down to Memphis.
Take it.
Oh, yeah, I'll take
that.
I think
within the next week.
I'm gonna take it, too.
Ooh, then the next week.
When Wonger comes back.
Oh.
Yeah.
You know what?
By the way, Matt Holliday placed on the DL with an illness by the Junkies.
Fatigue. He's had some sort. It's been going on for many days, apparently.
Happened to Marp.
That's all about.
When you work that hard, man. Happens.
I never got that.
I actually had a couple today. I couldn't decide on both on them, so I'm going to give you both. This first one, you may have seen or heard about the Instagram photo that Bryce Harper posted with him, his lady, Chris Bryant, and Chris's lady. And the caption is, "Just two Vegas boys living out our dream with the ones we love. This is what it's all about. What a time to be alive." And one of the hashtags is back-to-back one day, which you would think implies that they are going to be in the same lineup at some point.
I thought it meant the Nationals were going to win the World Series this year.
No, oh, I thought it meant Brian Jones back-to-back in the All-Star game.
No. Well, that could be.
Yeah, but I would take it to mean that either he's messing around with everybody, which he possibly could be, but there is a real chance that he ends up with the Cubs. Take it or leave it, he does.
Leave it.
Oh, I'll leave it. Unless it's not like it's not a possibility.
If Jason Hayward opts out.
Yeah, right. Yeah. You know, opt out of that one? You know, find a couple more suckers?
I would not.
No, yeah, I wouldn't either. No, it wouldn't be shocking. Look, you're looking for a big market. They've got that money to spend, and they would be willing to move Hayward somewhere else. Go play left field when we trade Schwarber or whatever. You'll figure out a way to fit him in. So it's not outside of the realm of possibilities, but I don't think it's going
to
happen.
Yeah, I'm going to leave it too. I think he winds up in New York. And here's one other one.
I think he's going to the Yankees.
You think he'll go to L.A.?
L.A. doesn't need outfielders.
Well, he's
a pretty good one.
He is the kind of player that you will find a way to fit him in.
Yeah.
Maybe Anaheim will throw a bunch of money at him. That'll work.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, have him play next to Trout?
Yeah, that would be
pretty
would be cool.
That would be really awesome. And here's another one. I have to give Viva Alberto's credit for the thought. Lance Lynn, if you're the Cardinals, would you consider, if you're going to trade Lance Lynn, would you consider trading him to the Cubs? Take it or leave it, you would do it.
Take it, I would.
I would, too. Yeah, I mean, if they give me the best offer, if I get the best return, if I'm inclined to trade him to the Cubs, that means I'm getting something very beneficial in return, which, by the way, the Cubs aren't going to want to send to you. But if in this crazy scenario, I would.
There you go.
They do have the prospects, still.
Big Sis, what do you got for us?
Excluding pitchers, take it or leave it, there are at least five teams that the Cardinals' best player cannot get on the field for.
I'll leave that. And get on the field
five
somewhere.
Teams.
I got to pick your best player.
Regular? Like be on the field every day.
Yes.
I think there are probably...
I'm still thinking Yachty's catching for a lot of teams.
For six teams at least.
Yeah. I still think that Matt Carpenter, while he's not the best first baseman in the world, he's cracking your lineup a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Diaz is not...
None of the outfielders are.
I don't think Jerko is either.
Yeah, I don't either.
With all due respect. There's not too many.
No.
A couple.
Take it or leave it, while it's the best move long-term, the Ryan Reaves trade is the saddest trade to happen to St. Louis sports since Ryan Ludwig.
I think I'm going to have to leave that one.
I'm not thinking of any that I'm sad about here currently. I don't love the Reaves trade just on the surface because I just
Luddy
like...
in 2010, right?
That sounds about right.
I think the Freeze trade is more sad than the Ludwig trade. I mean, your hometown hero that gets traded to the Angels?
Yeah. That was a trade that needed to happen.
It did, but just having...
Well, you're right.
Yeah. You're talking about a fan favorite. Yeah.
Take it or leave it, not trading Lance Lynn would be a worse move than trading Matt Adams.
I'll leave it.
I'll leave it too, I guess.
Just because somehow, some way, if this team were able to do something and the division kept being crappy and you kept Lance Lynn around, well, that would be good for you because you'd have another quality starting pitcher.
That's it. I mean, it's because of that very tiny bit of hope that it does continue this way. And I mean, they're only 4.5 games out right now. We keep saying the Cubs are going to pick it up. The Cubs are going to pick it up. But what if they don't?
They're embracing the suck right now, Ron.
Apparently. And I don't know what that means.
Don't
but,
either. But they
I
got T-shirts and everything. So it's a movement.
I guess.
Take it or leave it. What the Cardinals are going through this season is what the Patriots will be when Brady and Belichick retire.
Oh, take it.
I'll take that for sure.
That will look drastically different over there.
Yeah, I think that they might be more like the... Peyton Manning being
Colts.
Injured. Colts, yeah.
Yeah.
And take it or leave it, even Bryce Harper himself cannot help the middle of this Cardinals lineup.
Leave it.
I'll leave it.
Well, he would help.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
He'd help.
Leave it.
No. You're not going to cure all your...
Where do you play him, though?
What was that?
If you had Bryce Harper, you've got Piscotty, you've got Grichik, you've got Pham playing great.
Yeah, he is.
Back Fowler. Can he even make this team?
Yeah, what you're going to do is you're going to ask him, where do you want to play? If he says shortstop, you make it happen.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Bryce, go get him, big boy. At least your bat plays at any position.
Mm-hmm.
Be fine. But I would think I think right field or center.
What do we do with Piscotty?
Well, shuffle him.
Besides not talk about base running in front of him, what do we do with him?
He should be on the bench now.
A little sensitive about that.
Well, when Fowler comes back.
Yeah. So. Oh, take Bryce Harper in a second. I will personally drive whomever, wherever he gets traded. I will drive him.
So nice of
you. See ya.
The Cardinals are listening, so we'll get that taken care of.
I'll pay for the Uber, Buffalo Bills style. I'll pay for the Uber, wherever it is.
Thanks, Big Sis.
Thank you.
And thanks for your text to the Ryan Kelly text line, 65780. Next up in the fast lane, Daniel Descalso came through with a couple of big hits against his former team last night. The former Redbird joins us next here on 101 ESPN. Welcome back to the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN with Cardinal World Series champ Brad Thompson and Chris Ronji. I'm Randy Carricker. The Cardinals and the Diamondbacks again tonight in Phoenix at Chase Field. And joining us now on the Lou Fuse Kia Celebrity Line is former Cardinal and now Mr. Versatility for the Arizona Diamondbacks, Daniel Descalso. Daniel, always good to have you with us. How you doing?
Good, guys. Thanks for having me on.
How do you like playing all these positions?
It's been a lot of fun. You know, I've been the last few nights I had like a start in left, start at third, start at first, and then back in left last night. So definitely keeping me on my toes.
It's been fun to watch, man. And obviously here, we love our Cardinals. You know it. You've been here through some of the best times ever. They're a little bit leaner right now. But watching you guys play and watching the Diamondbacks, watching the run that you're on, you seem to be a group that just loves playing. There seems to be some sort of there's a passion. There's an energy around the group. You guys are having a good time, aren't you?
Yeah, definitely. Like you said, there's a good energy in our clubhouse, and that carries over onto the field. It started with our starting pitching all year, and then our lineups had, really good team at-bats. We're just concerned with getting to the next guy. And obviously winning makes things a lot better, and it's a lot of fun when you're out there expecting to win every night.
What is the atmosphere like with the team? Because we know there have been a lot of changes during the offseason, and the ones prior to that did not go well. And I think for a lot of people on the outside, it's unexpected to see the Diamondbacks doing this well. Not that it's a crazy idea they would have done well this year, but they might be exceeding expectations for a lot of other people.
Yeah, if you look at the record the last couple of years, it was not pretty. But the roster was certainly capable of more than what it showed. Zach Greinke had a down year last year. Shelby Miller didn't pitch as well as everyone would have hoped. A couple injuries to A.J. Pollock and David Peralta, and there's not a lot of teams that are equipped to deal with those circumstances. So everyone's been healthy this year for the most part. Shelby did go down. We've had some guys step up. Zach's been the Zach Greinke of old. And, adding Taijuan Walker, Robbie Ray's taking the next step forward, and there's, Goldie's anchoring our lineup again.
Daniel Descalso with us in the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. It has to be particularly interesting for you to be with Arizona as they turn things around and have a great record battling for the lead in the NL West. But then your old team, Colorado, is too. And I know that you saw that coming.
Yeah, definitely. Even last year, you could see signs of things turning around for that organization. We didn't quite have the pitching last year, but that team's always going to perform offensively. It seems like they've got a lot of good young arms that are contributing right now. So it doesn't take a genius to figure out that team was really close to putting it all together.
Daniel, one thing that winning teams have is, and it's very obvious when you're watching it, they have an attention to detail. They run the bases the right way. They field the right way. They back up the right bases. And watching you guys, not just last night, and the come-from-behind victory, thanks for that, appreciate it, but as a whole, like all year long, you guys do the little things right. And I know that your coaching staff, you got a newer manager in Torrey over there, but Gardy is the bench coach. You got McKay that you know very well over there at first. It seems like this is a group of coaches that really preaches that attention to detail. Is that day in and day out you hear stuff like that?
Yeah, and it started day one of spring training, with our team meeting and Torrey coming in and say, we're gonna go out there, compete, we're gonna do the little things right. And you mentioned the base running, and that's something we really take pride in over here. Dave McKay does a really good job of really pushing us on the bases and challenging us to be smart but be aggressive and put pressure on the other team. And when we're out there running the bases. It might not be stealing bags, but, you know, first to third, running hard down the line, it really puts pressure on the other team. And you mentioned Ron Gardner, who's a, you know, an asset for a new manager like Torrey, just kind of bring that stability of a guy who's done it before. And Torrey's been great so far for us. Everything that he's done seems to be working out, and yeah, he's been a great leader for us.
I know it's not totally unusual for a team to go into spring training saying that very same thing, that we have to get better on fundamentals, and we're going to focus on that during training camp, and then when we get to the regular season, hopefully it will carry over there. But is there, when you got to spring, and I know you said they made a point of emphasizing that, did it feel different than maybe another time you've heard that same message going in?
Well, one thing that really stands out is the way that Paul Goldschmidt plays the game. You know, he's a MVP candidate, superstar in the league, and he's running as hard as he can down to first base every time. He's always looking to take an extra base. So when your superstar is setting that example and playing the game as hard as he does, everybody else is kind of expected to do that as well. So I think it really starts, you know, there with Paul and the way he plays the game, and then you know, everyone sort of falls in line after that.
Daniel Descalzo with us in the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. And that was going to be my next question, because whenever we talk to Tony La Russa about Paul Goldschmidt, he compares Goldie to Albert Pujols. He says that's the highest compliment I can pay him. So aside from what he does that you're talking about, being the tone setter for your club, what's it like to play with a guy that's that prolific every day?
Oh, it's great. And like you said, he's as close to Albert as I've played with, you know, maybe even a little bit more athletic than Albert was in his day. But, you know, Goldie is the consummate professional. You know what you're going to get from him every night. And it's just fun to watch the way, you know, he plays defense. He takes pride in his at-bats. You know, he's battling up there, and he's just he's like anchor in the middle of our order.
Daniel, you know what this city is like when the Cardinals are playing well. Heck, you know what it's like even when they're not playing well. The city loves their baseball. They're crazy about it. But when this team is rolling, this city is nuts. And when the playoffs are going on, the city is crazy. What about out there, man? Has the city bought into what you're doing? Are you feeling the energy from them?
You know what? I think we had to prove ourselves a little bit this year. You know, the last couple of years have been, you know, not so successful for the D-backs. But we got back from a long road trip and had a Friday, Saturday, Sunday series with the Phillies, and you know what? The fans really showed up and showed their support. They were loud into the game. So I think it took us a little while to really prove to them that we were, you know, for real. And now, you know, they're jumping in and then buying into this Diamondback season.
People always say going into spring training in Arizona that, well, it's really tough to get an idea on certain things, certain pitchers, you know, certain hitters, because the sky is so high out there and you really can't get a good read. But you'll find out more once, you know, you break spring training and then you go to your respective cities. But you're playing now in the city where people say that kind of thing. And I know that your building has a roof on it. But do you notice any differences in playing there as the summer goes on in Arizona?
Well, I know it's nice that we don't have to play in 110-degree heat. We can just close the roof and stay out of the elements. That is really nice because it's starting to get real hot out here. But, you know, Arizona is known as a hitter's ballpark, fast surface, ball travels well. But our pitchers have done a great job this year of, you know, keeping us in ball games and giving us a chance to come back just like we did last night.
Daniel Descalzo joining us in the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. And Daniel, as somebody who's covered baseball for a long time, I always enjoyed wide-eyed enthusiasm. And the Memphis Mafia, when you guys came up, were just so much fun to watch. And I know that you guys had a lot of fun doing that. Now that you're the grizzled veteran, do you look back on that pretty fondly?
Yeah, you know, I think it's sort of rare to come up with a group of guys you're so close with and sort of break at the same time and be part of a World Series team and then end up staying so close as your careers take you down different paths. I mean, we still text each other a lot, that whole group, and, you know, look back fondly on those Cardinal days. But I just think it's, you know, kind of a rare occurrence for something like that to happen, and we had a lot of fun doing it, and I know I can speak to the other guys when saying that we really enjoyed those coming up together.
That's like every GM and every scouting director's dream, is that a group like that like hits the major leagues and thrives. I think we saw the Royals do a little something like that. They brought up a bunch of guys and had success. Like, you could just tell when guys have played together and have that relationship. I'm sure everybody wants to have a Memphis Mafia.
Yeah, you know, I think that's, you're probably right with that's a GM's dream to have, you know, be able to call up a bunch of young guys and be able to depend on them and know that you're going to get at least a well-prepared performance when you put those guys in there. And I think we kind of paved the way for, you know, teams to start using younger benches as opposed to veteran guys.
I want to go back to you playing defense, something we talked about earlier here, and you being asked to play different positions. That's not anything new. You've had to do that before, but this is the first time, the last couple of years now, the first time you've had to play in the outfield now on a regular basis. So clearly there's it's very different to go from the infield to the outfield, but having to make that adjustment and having to do it in the middle of a season or even just work on it in spring training, what's the difficulty there?
It's just a new spot. You know, the unfamiliarity with the outfield is the biggest hurdle. You know, last year in Colorado, I had been swinging the bat well, so they had been kicking the idea around of me getting the outfield. I worked with Eric Young, you know, just being comfortable getting in the right position, fly balls and stuff. And they ran me out there a few times, and then unfortunately Trevor Story got hurt, so I had to go cover short after that. But it was something that Torrey and our GM Mike Hazen early in spring said, you know, we want to get you a few looks in the outfield, just so you're comfortable there. You know, we don't know exactly how the season's going to shake out, but we want to make sure that you have some reps out there and work with Dave McKay and just try to be as comfortable as possible.
Hey, Daniel, we know it was a tough year for your San Francisco 49ers, but they made us very happy here in St. Louis with their two wins coming against the LA Rams. How do you like the hiring of Shanahan and John Lynch, their new regime there?
Well, obviously something had to change, right? I mean, they've been tough to watch the last couple of years, and it seems like they're attempting to get that franchise going in the right direction. I know the Niner fan base in the Bay Area has been more happy in the past than they have the last couple of years. So hopefully they're on the right track. I know they're in rebuild mode, and hopefully Shanahan and Lynch can get that ship righted.
Daniel, if you haven't noticed, Randy cannot let the Rams thing go.
No, apparently not.
He cannot.
Which is fine. You had my favorite. Me and you both had the 49ers as our favorite team a couple of times last year. Daniel, go get them tonight. Have fun. It's so much fun to watch you play and thrive and succeed with the D-backs, and we thank you very much for taking some time with us.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
Cardinals have announced that they have purchased the contract of rookie infielder Alex Mejia from Memphis and optioned Aledmys Diaz to AAA Memphis. They've also moved Alex Reyes from the 10-day DL to the 60-day DL to make room for Mejia on the 40-man roster. This is something that has been bubbling for about a week now. We've been kicking it around. Bernie wrote about it at 101sports.com. I think any rational, logical Cardinal fan was thinking, okay, well, with DeJong up here and playing a pretty good shortstop, that at least when Colton Wong came back, that Diaz would be the odd man out. It happened a little quicker than we might have expected, but Diaz down to Memphis.
It did, and this is maybe the way to do it, too, because you get an opportunity to get eyes on another player that maybe you believe can help you, and that's the case with Mejia. Mejia isn't a guy that he's not a power-hitting shortstop, but he's a good glove. He's solid up the middle, and that's something that the Cardinals haven't had. Mm-hmm. He split the last couple of years between AA and AAA, waiting for this opportunity, a fourth-round pick in 2012, and good for him. I know it's disappointing. I've been sent down plenty of times, and I know what Diaz is going through mentally. And by the way, the first time is the worst, especially after spending so much time in the big leagues, mm-hmm. and you feel like you've made it, you feel like you've got it all, and then it gets ripped away from you. It sucks. What have we learned, though, from guys that get sent down? We see a couple of guys do it this year. Goes down and works, hopefully gets his butt back, but he's got some things to work on. He's got a lot to work on. And the bat played last year. The bat was great. His defense was shoddy. Said shoddy, right?
Yes.
You did. Thank goodness.
And one of the things, by the way, you also get a chance to partake of the Howard Johnsons in Springfield, which is really good.
They have Hojo's?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Haven't you stopped there, Brad? I can't believe you wouldn't have stopped there.
No. I didn't spend much time in Springfield.
It's like halfway there to Memphis, right?
No.
It's the other direction.
No.
That's Illinois.
No,
Joplin. Joplin's what we're thinking about.
Okay, Joplin's not on the way either. You're going to go straight out to 55, Memphis, Randy. Yeah. You're going to keep going.
Okay.
I don't think that's on the way. 44, I think, is Joplin.
I know on the way to Memphis we stopped at a Howard Johnson's. I got to figure out what city it was.
Well, either way, maybe you want to stop there. There is a Taco Bell that I've hit up on the way, if in fact you want to try
There's
that one.
There's one in West Memphis.
Isn't Memphis east?
Carry the two, yeah. South. All right,
yeah, so
south.
That's what I'm... What are you?
Yeah, we're going south, 55 south.
Yeah, you're going the wrong way.
No, did 55.
Look, we've got bigger issues here. Yeah. Where's Hojo's?
Some city. I'll find
All right, cool. But this isn't shocking. The Cardinals have tried to, and they did this with their bullpen, is try to figure out some sort of flexibility, some way that they could have moving pieces, some way that they could keep fresh arms coming in. Well, why not have the same thing when it comes to your position players? Have guys that you can move around if they're not performing to the best of their abilities or at least as good as you need them to be. You send him down and you have somebody that hopefully can.
And by the way, Mejia, a fourth rounder for the Cardinals in 2012 out of Arizona, he was the Pac-12 Defensive Player of the Year and the Pac-12 Player of the Year. That's pretty high
honor
in that
good baseball.
In that conference. He's 6'1 and 200 pounds and was among the Texas League leaders in doubles at the time of his June 15th promotion to Memphis. Had 17 doubles down there at Springfield. So he is on his way to Arizona to join the ball club.
Well, there's a thing here that has to happen for the Cardinals. And first of all, you guys were right. I didn't think it would happen as quickly as it did. I mean, I don't think you thought it was going to happen like 30 minutes after we talked about it. But you did say that it would happen within the week. And I honestly didn't think they would do it that quickly. Not that they shouldn't have. I just didn't think they would.
There's urgency right now, I think.
I'm glad. I'm glad there is. I'm glad they feel like they have to be a little proactive with this because they need a tool out of him. And if Diaz is not going to hit, if he's not going to drive in runs, if he's not going to be productive offensively, they at least need him to play good defense, and he's really not doing that either. So this does not hurt them in any way to try and find out if they can get something out of somebody else, at least for a short period of time, because what they're doing right now is not working. Unfortunately for them, it's not just Diaz. It's a lot of spots on the field.
And you can't move all those spots. You get to hope that some of those spots start getting it going, but you can try to spark something. And if you're going to have a light-hitting shortstop, that guy might as well pick.
Played some defense.
Yeah, that's kind of the thing here. So, this will not be a fix-all. It might be a little bit of a help. It might be something where, and I don't know what Mejia's playing time is going to look like. I don't know if they're just going to get him up and just plug him in there, because I think DeYoung's been doing a very good job also, but it just provides you a little flexibility, and it gives you a glove man late, because as we saw, Diaz is probably not your defensive replacement at shortstop.
I would, if I haven't done at Memphis, I would play him at third base. And I know they have Patrick Wisdom down
playing
there.
Playing really well, too.
Yeah, but you've got Void up here, so you can move Wisdom over to first. He can play over there and let Diaz become acclimated, because I think anybody who's watched him now for a year and a half, a pretty good sample size, realizes that this is not a world championship shortstop in Diaz.
No, I'm with you. So I wouldn't mind seeing him play there, or at least provide a little flexibility. Play some third base. Maybe play a little bit of second base. Don't have enough of those. I think maybe if you could bounce around the infield a little bit, maybe give yourself more of a chance.
I can't believe the Cardinals haven't called up another second baseman.
I think they're all here.
Oh, are they?
Well, Wonger will be back before you know it, too.
Oh.
Which is good. Wong was playing great.
Yeah.
So if you can get him back, and I know it's crazy to expect him to just jump right back into the month that he was having, but good. Get him back.
Well, and my lineup will include Jerko, DeYoung, Wonger, and you still have to put Marp in there because of his OPS, his ability to get on base at the top of the lineup. I actually think that Piscotty should be sitting. And when Fowler is back right now, Piscotty's in there with Pham and Grichuk. But when you get Dexter Fowler back in there, I know Piscotty has picked it up here in June, but I still think the most upside for right now comes from Grichuk in right and Pham in left, or vice versa.
I do too. I also think, and this is something that Mo and Matheny both talked about, with Dexter Fowler on the DL, that right now with the outfield, if you're playing well, you're going to play. Like that's how it is. Well, even when Fowler comes back, I kind of feel like that's how it should be. Now, he's going to be plugged in, but I'm talking about the other guys. I'm talking about Piscotty in this mix. If guys are swinging it, if guys are doing their job and they're doing it well, and I'm not talking about going 0 for one day and yanking a guy out, I'm not talking about that. You can give some a little bit longer opportunities, but that's how it should be right now. There should be that urgency to play. You can figure out all this other junk later, and contracts are contracts. Guys that are going to be helping your ball club need to be helping your ball club on the day-to-day.
As far as position players go on this team, Fowler, the catcher Yadier Molina, and probably Matt Carpenter. Those are the only guys you're not moving. Everybody else should be on the table. Everybody should be up for discussion. if you have already decided as an organization that this is a year that you have a real chance to win, you have a real chance to win this division, which, you know, so far, neither team, the Brewers or the Cubs, are trying to run away with this thing, and we're about halfway through the season. So if you figured, as a team, we still have a chance here, those other spots on the field, there is no reason for them to be too much more patient than they have been. I think they have shown way more patience than they probably should have, considering the context of the National League Central.
So Alex Mejia up, Aledmys Diaz down, and Paul DeJong at shortstop tonight for the Cardinals in Arizona. Diaz will head to Memphis, where he barely played before being called up last year. Next up, and by the way, Jen Langosch, our Cardinal insider, will join us at 6:15 to talk more about Diaz. She just spoke to him, so she'll have more on this story at 6:15. But next up, what questions do you have for us? Send them in to the Ryan Kelly text line at 65780. The Sizzlin' Six-Pack, brought to you by Ruth's Chris, is next on 101 ESPN. We appreciate your texts to the Ryan Kelly text line at 65780. And with your questions for us, here's Big Sizz.
So regarding the Diaz demotion, we know guys like Yadi, Marp, they're not going to get sent down to AAA. But which realistic demotion would surprise you the most on this team?
Realistic one. You know what? The one for me is a guy that we were just talking about, actually, that maybe could lose some playing time, would be a Stephen Piscotty.
And that's
a
guy
I wouldn't even surprise me either.
See, I would be. The guy, they gave him a fresh contract. They want to keep him around,
Mike,
I think.
Wanger.
The Piscotty. Wonger, though, you understood it, right? Like, Wonger was his own worst enemy, just beating on himself. But Piscotty, I think it's a bad thing.
Well, no,
he was mentally beating himself down, Randy. Oh, and he was in his own dome quite a bit, just all up in his head. So, Piscotty's not that guy to me. I think Piscotty's got his head on his shoulders pretty well. And I would be surprised if that happened to him.
I don't think there's anybody that would totally shock me.
No, I guess the
I mean,
one...
Carpenter's not good. He can't be. Can he be sent down? Yeah, he could, but they're not going to.
I don't know how the rules work, because O has enough service time to become a free agent after this year. But does that mean that he doesn't have options? Sunwano?
I think you have to DFA him.
Yeah,
I think
he doesn't have options. I don't know how he wound up with enough service time to become a free agent after this year.
No, you can designate him, but I think he would have to accept.
So they aren't going to DFA him.
Right, because he signed as a free agent.
Guys
basically.
With options, then Piscotty would be the guy.
With so many young and talented guys being sent down here in the past 2 years or so, what does that say about the Cardinals' development program?
Kind of scuffling.
To me, it says the development program, like the minor league system, is doing their thing. Here, I don't know.
Coaching staff at the major league level, in terms of developing players, is leaving something to be desired.
Yeah, maybe. And it also just says individuals aren't getting the job done, too, because you can coach people up left and right, and you can keep preaching the same things, the keys, the things that they need to work on, but if that player doesn't put it into work, well, then it's on them at some point. Sometime you do have to just do it on your own.
I don't know. I think you could probably go back even deeper and say that maybe it's in drafting. Maybe some of these guys just, you know, I mean, they're good, but not good enough. And that their ceilings are fairly low. I think you could say that.
Maybe it's because Jose Oquendo isn't here.
Dave McKay.
Wish it was that simple.
Dave McKay.
Albert Pujols.
Yeah. Albert Pujols.
See, I don't the problem is when you see a guy like Grichuk at 24 home runs last year and has an .877 OPS the year before that, that tells me that the tools are there, that there is a pretty good ceiling. We know that Wong is athletic enough and has the physical attributes to be able to be a good baseball player. So I disagree with that. I think that there is, that we saw Diaz last year, there is a lot of physical ability there that is just untapped in many cases.
Well, then to me, it's an issue of how each individual player handles being adjusted to, because every pitcher around the league, once they get the book on you, they're going to start to attack you differently. Mm-hmm. It's how you react to that, how you adjust to that. And I that's probably the number one thing in baseball that is the most important, is being a hitter, if you're a hitter, is being able to adjust to the adjustment. Right. And I don't think anybody can do that for you.
What do the St. Louis Blues need to get done during this offseason after losing both Perron and Reeves?
And now Berglund for October November and part of December. They need to get a right wing. Those are a couple of right wings that you don't have, that you did. I know that they want to explore their internal options first, but I would think with the Berglund injury now, the shoulder surgery that'll keep him out until at least December, they need to go out and find themselves forward in free agency or in a trade. And you guys know I really like Justin Williams. Apparently a lot of teams do. Nick Bonino, a center from the Penguins, a two-time Stanley Cup champion, is out there in free agency. He made $1.9 million last year and for them was a third-line guy, but would be a great replacement for a guy like Berglund. Sam Gagne, who's pretty old, but a free agent with Columbus, is another guy that would be a good fit. But my preference for the Blues would be to get a center. My fear is that they put a lot of confidence into people like Oscar Sundqvist or even Zach Sanford and don't have an established player to fill in for Berge.
There's a feeling out there they might get Joe Thornton. What about that?
I don't see them spending the money on Thornton. I think that's, you're probably looking at $5 million a year for 3 years, and I don't see that happening here. Not with the fact that they have to sign Parayko.
Do you have a prediction of where the relationship between L.A. and the Rams will be in 5, maybe 10 years?
Oh, I think if they have the same ownership and the same leadership in the building,
apathy,
that it will be totally apathetic. I don't think the people that would
gotta
have
win,
the potential
man.
To be fans will care.
You got to win, and that is one thing that Randy has been proven over and over again with that owner, that the teams just don't win. Don't figure it out. So if they are somehow, some way, if they are winning, people will support it. But if they're not, there's a lot to do out there. Right. Well, that place is going to be beautiful, glamorous. It's going to be great. It's going to be the place. First year in the new stadium, at least for the first couple of games, will probably be the place to be seen, right? Like, who's got the good seats? Who's doing this? Who's hanging out in the clubs? All the cool stuff that they're doing around there. But after that, it's not going to be. You're going to be going to the beach. And you're going to be going to all these cool restaurants and all these other places. You don't have to be seen at these games.
What would also be a really great idea for them in the first couple of games there is to not run out of water.
Yeah. Well, that's why they're going to limit now. They aren't going to sell 90,000 tickets anymore. They're going to limit their ticket sales to only 70,000 per game.
Limit.
Yeah. And one other issue that they're going to run into, and I think the NFL is dealing with this as a league too, that market is more than 50% Hispanic. And they want people that have been soccer fans for generations to change their allegiance and become football fans. And
football's football, you know?
Yeah. Well, not exactly. No. I don't see that happening. I see why they sell out their Galaxy games and why they can sell out international matches, especially when the U.S. plays Mexico at the Rose Bowl and they get 95,000 people in there. It's going to be more difficult, I think, than they believe it is to attract those new fans.
That's why you have to win. Yeah. It is true, especially in that market. It has been proven decade after decade that if you do not win, people will not show up. There are some markets where people will still go. I think this is one of them. Green Bay is one of them. But if you do not put a winner out there, you have to give people in Los Angeles a reason to be distracted from all the other stuff they could be doing and come watch your product. So you have to be good.
I think it was a brilliant move, though, a stroke of genius, actually, to hire Ryan Seacrest as their new head coach, because
that's not him. Different
no,
guy.
No, it looks like him.
Different
hair
guy.
Is solid. I believe it to be a gentleman by the name of McVay. That will be doing a young man.
I saw the picture. I thought it was Ryan.
No, it's different. He's totally busy, different man. Guy. He's got his radio gig. He's doing some TV thing in the morning, I think, nowadays.
Okay. All right.
So I don't think he's got time to do
something.
Yeah,
wrong
like
guy.
That.
Okay, sorry.
How much does the new Cardinals TV deal change the way they do business, and how much will it change the way they do business?
I think it's going to provide them more flexibility. Don't know if they're not going to. I don't think this TV deal is going to make them act like they're the Yankees or act like they're the Cubbies going out there. But I do believe that if there's somebody that they really want to keep in their building, that they'll make sure it happens. If there's somebody that they know they must have, then they'll be in those conversations. But I don't think that it's going to just be a free for all as far as spending goes. I don't think they're going to change their dynamic the way they've built themselves.
The operative word there is flexibility. It gives them the flexibility to make a mistake on Albert Pujols. And if it doesn't work out, then you can still go get something else rather than be locked into him and nobody else.
Yes, and what it should do is hopefully prevent them from being afraid to make a deal like that.
Yeah.
I've said it 1,000 times and I will continue to say it. As long as they have the funds for it, I want them to be in the conversation when these guys are available in a year, when Machado and Harper, I want them to at least be a consideration, a serious consideration.
Well, fellas, as we know, things are a little depressing as a Cardinals fan right now. What has been your lowest rock bottom moment as a Cardinals fan?
I haven't been a whole lot of
maybe them. The fact that I've said at least 7 or 8 times this year that is the worst loss of the season. Said it again last night. That was the worst loss of the season. We have way too many of those. A lot of low point. Like just when you feel like you've hit the bottom,
something else.
Yeah, you hit a little further down.
There is. I can never remember a Cardinals team quite like this one, where you have that. Okay, what's it going to be tonight? Feeling.
Yeah.
When's the last time you've had this, Randy? I mean, you've been here for like 90 years.
I've had it before. In 94, 95, they were really bad.
Yeah.
But even then, you had Ozzy. You didn't give away games like you're giving away now. I think this fundamentally is the worst I've seen. And it's one thing to have a bad bullpen and give away games, but it's another, and lose games. It's another thing altogether to be handing decisions over to the opposition, which is what this team does. I would say this is right there towards this last year and a half, right there towards the rock bottom for me.
This is, like I've said a lot too. I mean, this this is exactly what about my last 5 years in Chicago were.
Yeah,
and by the way, watching a team doing exactly all of this stuff, this is not new to me.
And the '94 team was horrific. They were awful, and they were fortunate that the strike came because that would have been the worst team in Cardinal history. Thanks, Big Sizz.
Thank you.
And thanks for your text to the Ryan Kelly text line, 65780. Next up, the Mets have been hit hard by the injury bug this season, and another injury sent one of their broadcasters over the edge last night. Somebody get lit? That's next before Teoli on 101 ESPN.